This boy's just telling me he was come back from Wisconsin. He's walked on the water. Praise the Lord. I mean, what a young man of faith walking on the water. Of course, the water was 40 below zero, so it was kind of solid. But anyway, praise the Lord. That's the beginning of great faith, I will have to say. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the great faith you give us. Huh? Oh, my goodness gracious. Amen. Praise the Lord. I need lots of prayer. I'll tell you, I need everybody praying for me. I mean, anybody don't need prayer, I'll tell y'all, you know, when you're young, just to tell you how stupid, maybe you wasn't stupid like me, but when I was a young man, I remember when I was about 18 years old, I had a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, and I had joined up for the night races on the, they had some dirt roads that they had closed off for a night, and so everybody had a motorcycle. Of course, there wasn't very many in Brownwood, Texas. They could run a race that night. So, of course, I didn't tell my mother. I just told her I was going to Brownwood. You know, I'd be back later that night. And my mother, you know, she had the Spirit of God living in her, so she knew I was up to something. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know how mothers are, right? They just know. And so she prayed for me. Oh, she prayed for me. All night she prayed for me. And when I got home that night, I had won that crazy race. On that dirt road, you know, at night, you know, I'm with a headlight, you know, running tremendous speeds down those roads, sliding around them corners, and all the stupid things that young, stupid boys do, you know. And if God wasn't there with his angels, I'm sure I worked my angels overtime that night. I'm sure they glad that night was over. I didn't have enough brain to even know what was going on. But I won the trophy. I won first place, a little old plastic trophy, you know, probably cost $2. You know, so I got home and I went in, well, it was midnight when I got home, and I went in, sat down on the side of the bed and said, Mom, look, you know, I said, look what I won. She said, what'd you do? And I said, well, I went to Brownwood tonight and I ran in the motorcycle races and I come in number one. She said, I knew you were up to something. That's why I have prayed for you ever since you left. I said, Mom, I'm a big boy now. I don't need prayers anymore. Oh, Lord. How little I... You see how dumb we can be when we're 18 or 19? Well, anytime you think you don't need God's protection, your brain ain't working, is it, Tom? It ain't working. So anyway, Lord, we're so grateful. We're so thankful, Lord, for your presence and you being here. And, Lord, this is holy place. This is holy ground, because this ground's your ground. And we praise you and thank you for this week. And we thank you for the wonderful healing school we had yesterday and the wonderful things you did for people and the testimonies we had yesterday. And we're so grateful that you're still a King of kings and Lord of lords, and you're alive and well, and you're doing wonderful things for your people. Now, help us, Lord, to walk holy and obedient to your word so you'll continue to show up for us. And I praise you and thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, to start off with today, do we have any testimonies? Anybody got a testimony you want to give? Hey, come up here. Okay, we got this lady first. Let's let her come first. We'll get this lady. Praise the Lord. Tell us what your name is and where you're from and everything.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm Carolyn Knight. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I met my dear friend Nancy Castillo in Dallas. She's from California, Paradise, and she's been listening to your CDs for a year and convinced me to come. But I came in, I had a cracked bone in my left arm that hurt so bad, and it would pop and make noise, and it just ached, and it would shift around, especially when I drove. And yes, I guess I thought of going to the doctor, but I had broken it a year and a half ago, and they didn't do hardly anything for it except give me a bottle of pain pills. And so anyway, I came believing God. I do missionary work, and I came back from overseas with a digestive problem. It was really bad. It was bad. And everything I'd eat would go right through me, and I also had a kidney condition for a long time. And as soon as I left here, my arm wasn't hurting. It wasn't popping. I can move it around. Praise it's God. Not shifting.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Lord.
My insides were not hurting like usual. I was able to go eat a good meal with no problems. And I thought, well, now is the acid test, because for a year I haven't really been able to soak in a tub because of the kidney bladder thing. You know, that isn't wise if you have infections. And I decided to take a good hot bath, and I did, and I've been fine.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. He really showed up for you, didn't he? Wow, we prayed for all of those things yesterday. Do we have a mighty God, folks? Is he awesome? We praise him and thank him. Now then, sir, you were had your hand up, come up here. You do the same thing. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what God did for you. Praise the Lord.
My name is Vince. I'm from Overton, Texas. I've been having a real tough week. So I got through it. I was driving down here, meditating on the wrong things, everything that happened during the week. And, of course, a teaching that Thurman had done about a woman that came in with a crick in her neck, and when she found her sin, immediately she was healed, came to me. And I thought to myself, I got this crick starting to come on my neck, and I go, wait a minute. And I just repented. I said, Lord, forgive me for bringing those thoughts back up and meditating on them. And then I turned around and I kicked the devil out, gone like that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing what happens when we kick out the devil? You know, as long as he's in our life, we've got problems, don't we? But when we repent, and of course, you know, is there any others? Is that all? Or okay. Oh, we got another one. Come up here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was just fixing to quit. I almost quit too quick. Praise the Lord.
This is talking about God's protection. We've been in Arkansas selling mother's property that she had deeded to me and my sister and I. But the night before we got there, the workman that we have taking care of the place told us that he had come by without really knowing why he was by there, and he went into the garage, and there's a garage apartment above it, and he said that he smelled gas, and he went upstairs, and it was totally, totally full of gas, and it was the flex pipe on the stove in the place. But we pray protection over that all the time, and this is God's protection because
Amen.
That's close enough to that house that it would have gotten it too.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we got another one. Oh, praise the Lord. Wow, I'm not giving up here now. Praise
the
King.
Well, we just got back from Minnesota and Wisconsin. Like Thurman said, my son was the one who walked on water, so it was his excitement. Well, we were traveling on the way to Minnesota, and this was just a couple weeks ago, and we have a weather band on our car, and it said on there that it was impossible to go through because there was all this blowing snow and drifting along the roads. And so we said, well, we're not accepting that, and it's not impossible for the King. So we just kept right on going, and all of a sudden this snow would kind of like blow across, and I said, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. You stay on the side of the road where you need to be. And that snow, we made it right through. It was like the parting of the Red Sea.
Amen.
So thank you, King.
Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, goodness. Praise the Lord. Our God is there for us in all times of need. Now, is there any others? I don't want to quit for somebody else that's got a testimony, but if there's not, okay. I've got one little bitty one, but it's amazing how concerned God is about everything. A couple of weeks ago, we had to go somewhere right after church at right quick, and so there were still people milling around here, so I asked Phil, for the first time, I said, Phil, would you lock the door when you leave? You know, I said, you going to be here a while? He said, yes, Pastor, I'm going to be around at least another hour or so. I said, well, there's some people milling around out there getting tapes and stuff, and I have to leave. I said, would you make sure the door's locked when you leave? He said, sure. So that's all I asked him to do was lock the door. When I got home that evening, I come by out there, the door was locked. You know, so he'd done what I asked him to do. So it was late, and I went to my office. I had to do some more studying. It was about 11:30, I guess, or whatever, when we got back. And we had left about 6. So I went up there and got in my office and sat down and was reading the Word. And just been sitting there a few minutes when all of a sudden in my spirit, I heard the Lord say, now this was not an audible voice, but this was in my spirit. I heard the Lord say, son, go check the church's bathrooms. I thought, go check the church's bathrooms. I thought, okay. So I just pushed my chair back and got up and walked out here and walked down the hallway there and walked down and started down. As I started down, I heard water running. I thought, uh-oh, where's that coming from? So I walked all the way to the end, checked every one of them, come down, and I got to about the third one, and it sounded like the water was running right there, so I thought, I'm automatically thinking a stool hung or something, you know. So, and I pulled the lid up on it, looked down in the stool, and ain't no water running in there. I laid the lid back down on it, and then I thought, I looked over, and the faucet was wide open, running a full stream of cold water. For 6 hours, it had been running a full stream of cold water. Now, if I hadn't found that for 3 or 4 days, I mean, it would have wasted a lot of water. Now, isn't it amazing that God is interested even in a little thing like water? You know, to think that when you're about his business, the king, we have a king that talks to us and tells us what to do. And a lot of times we don't listen. You know, that thought comes to your mind. You think, oh, well, yeah, I mean, it's okay. No, if a thought comes to your mind, you need to obey that thought, don't you? You need to obey that thought. You know, so, oh, Joseph, you got something you want to say?
Let me, since you told that, that just reminded me of one that happened to me just yesterday coming up here. Yesterday? Ace was, yeah.
Yeah, Saturday.
I was putting on my necktie and my little tie clip. I had this tie clip made special. And I think it cost me something like about $100. It's gold. And I always put this on in front of my mirror in my bedroom, in my dresser. And yesterday, I decided to put it on in my bathroom. And I started into the bathroom, and the Lord spoke to me, and he says, in front of your bedroom mirror. And I stopped for a second. I thought, where did that thought come from? And then I realized, like, Thurman always tells us, well, it's from the Lord. So I turned around and went back to the mirror, and I started putting my tie clip on, and I dropped it, which is something I almost never do. And it dropped onto the dresser and bounced around a couple of times, and I immediately realized, had I put it on in the bathroom, it would be down my drain today.
Yeah, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to obey the king, right, Joe?
And little tiny things like the water running, and don't want to lose your tie clip.
Amen. It's wonderful, the God we have. And, oh, we got another testimony, Odie? Come on up here. Yeah, praise the Lord. We got a roll going here now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God does great things for us. Hold that close so we can hear you.
Yes, sir. I don't know. This is our experience, first time. I was having, last night is about 1 o'clock. I was going to sleep. And after prayer, I lay down to let it go sleep. And it's almost let it sleep. And the Lord wake me up, say, go take communion. I said, okay. And I said it. I thought, you know, I almost did it, but then I heard it again. So I got up and I went to take a communion, and I was start crying. And I don't know, I was uncertain, and but I was start crying as I got bread ready, and I pulled the wine. I usually pull the wine, I mean, not the wine, the grape juice, put just a little bit in the bottom. And the Lord say, put the full cup. And I said, okay, Lord. Then I cried more. And I put just a little above a half. And I put it back. I did it twice, you know. And then I put it back. He said, Lord, I said a full cup. I said, okay, I cried more. And I put it in a full cup. And then, you know, I was crying all the way. And I just kneel down floor. And I started taking communion. And I prayed it, then I take the communion, and I was walking the throne of His grace, and before Him I took a communion, and I was doing that. I felt that His presence, His holiness, so I feel like I was so tiny, and I took the bread. Then as I was started taking the juice, His blood, and this dog communion, because I read it, Corinthians 11. And then I heard this voice coming in and say, you are drinking the judgment. I said, that doesn't make sense. The Lord has told me. And before even I had a communion, I repent all that I can repent, and known and unknown. And I asked the Lord to examine me. And so, I said, you drink the judgment. I said, that is right, it's devil, and I rebuked it, and then said it again. And then I put down to my cup, and I started praying. I said, Lord, I'm not going to drink your blood unless you tell me to drink it. How long, it doesn't matter how long you take to drink it. And I just sit there and pray in spirit, and pray. Then I heard the voice, my daughter, drink the cup now. So I drink the cup that moment. And I don't know what it was doing to me, but I know something mighty deeper needs to happen. And enemy, all he can do to not make me to drink that cup. And after that, I saw spirit. I mean, Satan was angry. He was rampaging everywhere. I just saw that. And I just thank you to Jesus. Amen. I thank you to our Father for, you know, his protection, his love guarding over me.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Glory to God. Praise the King. Thank you, Jesus. We serve an awesome God. Awesome God. Oh, we got another testimony. Okay. Wow, praise the Lord.
It's been a long time.
Hey, praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord.
Yeah, I've been holding back. I don't know why, but this is really awesome because the theme that I've been hearing is how good and awesome God is to take care of us. And I have like about three right now. And I just have to worship and praise God to know that this year, all that we are hearing, is supposed to be one of the most terrible year that we'll ever encounter. But all the children of God that are divinely connected to the Holy Ghost, I'm just hearing peace. I'm just hearing this is the best year, and I praise God, you know, for that peace and that joy that he has blessed us with to take us through. I was on a prayer line last week, with some folks. I don't know them, just joined this prayer line. And this grandmother has a granddaughter that was driving back to college. And she was very burdened because she said, this girl, she's showing exhibiting lesbian spirits. So she asked me to pray, and we prayed. And I told her, it's nothing but demons, and we have the power. Because I remember years ago in Los Angeles, I just got back from Jamaica. Around 11, 12 o'clock the night, I walked in my apartment. My girlfriend was sleeping. The following morning, we woke up. She said, Ruby, a lesbian spirit came in here with you last night. I drove it out. And she didn't have the discerning. I probably would be a lesbian. Oh, God. That doesn't even sound right. But that is how awesome God is. But anyhow, we prayed the following day. The lady shared on the testimony. Her granddaughter has started making changes.
Amen.
She started changing the power of God.
Praise the Lord.
And last year sometime, God is so good. I had a dream. Lord fixed me through a dream. And I saw myself in a pit. I had no idea what it was. But I was in a pit. And later on, I discovered it was my grave. And two ladies, the Lord spoke to two ladies, one in New York and one here in California. One of them is our sister. She's not here today. She's from Africa. And told both of them to call me, like in a matter of a couple of days apart, call me and pray for me because the enemy is trying to kill me. Just out of the blue. One of them was able to tell me where the order is coming from. And I said, is God awesome? That's why we don't even have to worry what the devil is planning. And right now, the Lord has taken me to the place where I anticipate what the devil is planning and bind it. We have the authority to cancel every plan of the devil against our lives.
Amen.
And God is awesome. Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Now, I don't want to miss. Is there anybody else? If you got one, come up here. You know, if you got one, you want to come. Okay, no more. We got them all. Okay, well, we got one more back here. Praise the Lord. Wow, we're going to have a whole time of testimony. Brother Paul here, He stood it as long as he can stand it back there. Praise the King.
Well, it's been a long time since I got up here and gave a testimony, and I like to listen to the awesome testimonies of other people, but I just need to give God some praise and some glory. You know, Psalm 37:4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give your heart's desires." You know, I went into the trucking business about almost 2 years ago. I quit a dead-end job making $110 a day, and I kept reading the Bible every day, and it says, in Psalm 35:27, it says that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And I'd read that, and I was at a dead-end job, and I'd look up, and I said, "Lord, I hate this job." And God would give me a vision of a little $3,000 truck, an 18-wheeler. And I'd go, "Lord, what would I do with a $3,000 truck?" Little did I know that God was talking to me. He was trying to deal with me. So I kept praying, I kept praying, I kept praying. Finally, I said, "You know, there was a friend of mine came by, and he said, 'Hey, they need some trucks over at Hill Grain over in Commerce,' which is about 20 miles away. And I said, would they hire somebody that just started in the trucking business?" And they said, "Sure." I went over there, long story short, I went over there and bought this $3,000 truck. Went to the bank, hadn't been to the bank in 15 years to borrow money. Went in the bank and I said, "I want to borrow money to buy a $3,000 truck." The banker laughed. He goes, "An old pickup is more than $3,000. And I said, "I understand, but that's how much it is." So he lent me the money to buy the truck. The truck netted $7,000 after paying bills in less than 2 months. And I was just like, "Goodness gracious." Well, the Lord moved me up the ladder, and in 2 months, I bought a really nice Peterbilt. When y'all leave out of here, I want y'all to look at this really nice Peterbilt. I just painted it a sovereign blue because I live for a sovereign God. And that's what I said, "Lord, this is your truck, and I want to paint it a sovereign blue because it's just the blue above any other blue." And I would drive around in the truck before I went to work, what I'm doing now, and I would see these drilling rigs, and I would just say, "Lord, I want to do that. That's a desire that's in my heart." Well, about 2.5 months ago, God opened a door that I came to Decatur over here and started working. The desire of my heart was to work on a drilling rig. Now I have a sovereign blue truck working on a drilling rig, making more money than I've ever made in my life, and I'm the happiest man on the planet. God uses me to go to these drilling rigs, and every man out there I get to minister to, and you know, they've got these hard hats on, and their hard hats say this and this and this, their company and stuff. Well, I'm not about their company. I'm about Jesus. So I took my hard hat and I dressed it up with Jesus stickers all over the front of it. When I get out of the truck, they're looking at my, right on the very front of it says "Hardcore Jesus Freak," because that's what I am. And they look at that and they go, "Huh?" And then they see that truck and they go, "That's the prettiest truck I've ever seen. That's a sovereign blue because I live for a sovereign God." So I use my truck as a witnessing tool and I get to minister to everybody. I'm the most blessed man on the planet, but I'm only 15 miles from Thurman's Church. I just want to give God some honor, some glory.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow, glory to God. Those are great. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you one more then, and we'll go into the teaching. Yesterday, as we were talking, there's a lady and her husband sitting up here on the front row, and 21 months ago, her husband, he was a drug addict on alcohol, and everything, and had lost his whole family and everything. Totally lost it. And somebody gave him one of our CDs. He listened to one CD, and it turned his life around. He repented, came back to the Lord, and the young man, from the time 21 months ago when he was on the street with nothing, now he's working, got a good job, and he told us yesterday, in the last 21 months, he has led over 200 people to Christ. And that's a great testimony. That's a lot of fruit in 21 months. Some of us have not led that many people in our whole life, but he's led 200 in 21 months. And he brought his wife with him yesterday to the healing school because his wife had breast cancer, had pain in her arm. And so I was talking pretty close to the front of the healing school about how unforgiveness, especially in women, will bring breast cancer. And I talked about how that if you have it in the left breast, you know, it's a family member. How if it's in the right breast, it's another non-family member, but it's still unforgiveness toward a woman. She saw herself in that, and she got out her notepad and said, "Lord, I have breast cancer. I know it's because of my unforgiveness toward my sister-in-law. Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive my sister-in-law named so-and-so. I will love her. Thank you for forgiving me, and signed her name. And instantly she screamed. She was healed, sitting right there in the chair. Her pain went away. And that's what Dave said was an awesome thing. And we all got to see that. I mean, she just hollered out right at when her pain left. Lisa, do we serve an awesome God? He's an awesome God. And then the young man that was sitting right up here where Tom's sitting, him and his whole family came back last month. They came to a healing school. When they come, he could barely walk. He'd had a stroke from Oklahoma, and he'd had a stroke. And we found their sin. They repented. I prayed for him. And God almost healed him before they got home. But in just a few days, he was back to work. And yesterday when they were here, he was fully recovered. You couldn't tell he'd ever had a stroke. And they were just praising the Lord. Now, do we serve an awesome God? Oh, do we serve an awesome God? We praise him and worship him and thank him. Well, today we're going to talk about some of the things about his power and authority that he delegated to us before he left. And some of the things we should be doing, because if there was ever a time in your life when you need to know the delegated authority and power that belongs to you as a child of God, it's now. And just like I've done a teaching here in the last year or two, I don't remember how long ago it was, but I made a teaching and called, "In the Future You Will Need Psalms 91. You know, and there's no two ways about it. Everybody needs Psalms 91 every day of their life. But anyway, you're going to need to know the things that's in the Word so you'll know how to live, so you'll know how to come out of this thing alive, so you'll know how to win the battle. Because if you don't know how to win the battle, if the devil is sicked on you, and he will be, if he's sicked on you, he will kill you if you don't know your power and authority. But do you know, right now, today, there's been a multitude of Christians, I mean, men and women that go to church, men and women that love God, men and women that serve God, have died or been sick and afflicted prematurely because they didn't know about repenting of sin and coming to the healer. I mean, I think about one of the things Joseph told us just recently about, I believe it was his sister, when she was like 78 or whatever it was, she got to feeling bad. She went to a doctor, and the doctors told her that she had about 3 weeks.
She said with chemotherapy, about 4 months.
Okay.
Without chemotherapy, about 4 weeks.
Okay, so if she didn't take chemotherapy, she'd had about 3 or 4 weeks to live, and if she did, she only had about 4 months to live. And so there was no hope. She was going to die. Well, she was a Christian woman, of course, so she went to her church and had the elders of the church anoint her with oil and pray the prayer of faith for her. And I think he said she was 77 or 78 when this happened. Now she's 85, and she's still blowing and going. You know, so is it wonderful to know Jesus and to know his principles? Well, the whole church needs to know him like that. You know, it's wonderful that lady knows him like that, but most Christians don't know him like that. And so we're going to go over and we're going to learn him like that. We're going to learn how to walk in that, aren't we, Scott? Yes, we are. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 32 through 44. That's the end of the chapter. But Luke 4:32 is where we're going to start, and we're going to look at some of the things that Jesus did. Luke 4:32. And it doesn't make any King James or NLT, whichever one will be okay, Dave, whichever one you pull up. Okay, King James. Okay, that's where we were. Luke 4:32. We'll be right there in just a moment. Luke 4:32. In fact, I'll just start verse 31. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And after he taught them on the Sabbath day, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his words was with power. Now, that's something that's missing in a lot of churches. Now, I hope it's not missing in this one, but in some churches, you know, I've been in churches all of my life. I was raised in a church, but I technically never saw what I saw happen right here yesterday with that woman sitting right there, and of course this little lady sitting right there that we prayed for, and the man that was sitting right there. I had never seen or heard of a testimony like that in my life, and I've been in church all my life. That's sad, isn't it? It is so sad that we serve the King of the universe, that nothing is impossible with him. Nothing. I just didn't know. I just didn't know. I didn't know God talked to people. I certainly didn't dream that he would talk to me and tell me a faucet was running in the bathroom. You know, but he cares about everything, doesn't he? I mean, who would ever think about a God that don't want Joseph to lose his little Star of David? You know, so instead of putting it on in the bathroom, he says, son, go put it on in the bedroom. And so he goes back there and he drops it. Do you think God knew he was going to drop that thing?
Yeah.
Of course he did. He knew exactly what was going to happen. So he knew that, it, just like he said, it would have went down the drain. You know, so God's very wonderful. Okay, verse 33 and 34. And he says, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. Well, let me tell you, there ain't no such devil that's not unclean. They're all unclean. But he tells us here that this man had a spirit of an unclean devil. Now then, let me ask you this question. How did that man get that devil or that spirit, that unclean spirit in his body? What opened the door to allow this beast to come in his life?
Sin.
Some kind of sin. That's exactly right. The man had some kind of sin in his life. That's why do you think God told us, be ye holy and sin not? Why do you think he told us that? I mean, do you think he's just saying that to hear his voice? Because he loved us. Don't sin. Because he knows that when we sin, we open a door to the enemy. And so this man had done that. He didn't know these principles. And he says, and this demon cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. You mean devils talk? Yeah, they sure do. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. Now then, you know, there has been times in your life when an unclean devil and a human being spoke out of the mouth of somebody to you, and you were not even knowledgeable enough to know that was a devil talking to you. You thought that was a human being. But it was a devil. And some people were intimidated or scared because of that. Because they thought, wow, you know. And I've had people tell me, say, I have looked in the eye of people. I've had men or women, both ways, tell me that my spouse got extremely upset and went into a rage. And when I looked at them in the eye, I saw something that I ain't never seen. That wasn't my mate. Well, who do you think it was? An unclean devil. And somebody think, my mate couldn't have an unclean devil. Anybody can get an unclean devil. You can have one. All you got to do is sin. And they're standing there waiting to come in. They're just waiting for an open door. And you don't want to invite one of them in. You do not want to, because here this man had one, and it cried out to tell him even who Jesus was. Verse 35 and 36. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. You know how you speak that in Texas English? Shut up! Come out of him in the name of Jesus! That's the way you speak Texas English and get that done. You know I've been there and done that to a few of them. I know how they work. But he says, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. When the devil threw that man out into the midst, you know, it's just like the woman out there in New Mexico. When I commanded that devil to come out of her, well, Cheryl was sitting right there beside her. And when I commanded that devil to come out, that devil took that little woman. I mean, that little woman was, I mean, probably didn't weigh 110 pounds soaking wet. But, I mean, that little woman's body just, I mean, sitting right there beside Cheryl. When I rebuked that devil, commanded to leave, her little body just shot sideways right out. And her body went just horizontal to the floor. And she come out of that chair and flew across there and hit right on her side and slid to a stop out there. I mean, as soon as I commanded that devil to come out, man, that happened. Cheryl was right there with me. She saw it. And then I run over and jumped on top of her. You know, there in that restaurant, began to command the devil to come out of her. And that's when that paramedic got up and come on. He said, sir, I'm a paramedic. Could I help you with this woman? I said, well, I'm a pastor, and I'm casting the devil out of her. And he didn't have a clue what to do. So, and it's quite unique, you know, because there's not a whole lot of people in the world that understand the spirit world. But praise God, we did. And before that day was over, of course, Cheryl and I and Dave, you know, whenever Ayesha and them all come by and we were going to take her upstairs to get her out of the restaurant, I told Ayesha to take the children and go to a room. Of course, once she saw what was going on, she didn't want the kids nowhere close to that woman with that devil in her. But we cast that devil out before that day was over. It only took us 7.5 hours, you know, but we got it done. All three of us, Cheryl and me and Dave, you know, and we had quite a little battle that day, but I'm glad they were there, if nothing else, to see what was going on. It was a unique experience for both of them. Cheryl had never seen this kind of encounter with the devil, and that was Dave's first experience, but now they've seen it. They know the power we have over the devil, and so, you know, we're not intimidated by the devil. We know we stay with it and stand our ground, we can kick him out. So it says, this devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed. That's just like the people out there in New Mexico. They were all amazed, too. I'll have to say it was quite fun that day. And spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Well, if you don't know your authority, if you don't know that you can command them with authority, if you try, I remember one day I had a little boy, 15 years old, that a devil had put a tumor in his head and had blinded him, pressed on his optic nerves, and the little 15-year-old boy was totally blind. And I drove in a snowstorm over to Louisville to meet him and his mother and another woman. And I went in her office, the three of them and me, four of us. And in that day, and this had been years ago, 10 years ago at least, after I got their sins repented of, and I spent 4 hours teaching them the Word of God. And one of the things I remember about 2 hours into it, I mean, at that time, the Bible I had all the different scriptures marked, and so I'm just going through it and reading them. And about 2 hours into it, the lady says, Mr. Scrivener, where did you learn all this stuff? She said, I've been in church all my life, and I have never heard these kind of things taught in church. I said, well, ma'am, they're right here in God's Word. And she said, I know. I see you have all this highlighted. She said, oh, what I would give for a Bible that had all that highlighted in it. I told her, I said, I'll tell you what, we get through today, this Bible's yours. And I gave her my Bible that day when I left there. Hey, glory to God, I can make another one. You know, I made that one. You know, I highlighted it, but that ain't no big deal with me. She had no idea where these things were, but I knew where they were. And so after I got through teaching them and everything, I got up over this little boy on his head, and I began to hold his head, and I began to command the devil to come out of him. I command that tumor to die and dry up and for him to be healed in the name of our Lord and God, Jesus. And about 45 minutes I'd been doing that. Now I've been going 4 hours and 45 minutes. And so I said, I'm getting a little tired. I'm going to take just a little short break. She said, well, can I do it? I said, well, yeah, if you want to. So she put her hand on top of her son's head and she says, Mr. Devil, will you please come out of my son? I said, ma'am, that's okay. You can just sit down. You know what the devil does to us when we do that? He laughs at us. Yeah, he laughs at us. You know, do you think the devil knows whether you know you got authority over him or not? I guarantee he's a smart beast. So don't you dare think that you can go in there and do something when you don't know what you're doing. You got to know what you're doing. You got to know what Jesus had done for you on that cross. And if you know what he's done for you, then you can kick that devil out. And then he says, they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out, or they obey him. They will obey you too. I mean, just like this precious little lady right here, what do you think was causing all of her problems yesterday? They were unclean spirits. That's what they were. And when you lay hands on somebody and go to the Word of God and command these spirits to leave, and they have to leave, and then ask the Lord to restore everything that the enemy has messed up, you saw she had a completely different life last night. Isn't God awesome? He's awesome. Now, how much power and authority do we have over these devils? Oh, you got to get a hold of that. That's got to become a revelation to you. I have power over the devil. When I speak in the name of Jesus, he has to obey. I am a son of God. You are a son of God, just like Jesus was. He was a man. He was a son of God. He conveyed that power to you and me on this earth. We have the power to cast out devils. Verse 37 and 38. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and it besought him for her. Well, she had a fever. Well, let's go get her a bottle of pills. Let's see what Jesus did. And he stood over her, and what did he do? Rebuked the fever. What was it? A devil. A demon. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and ministered unto them. Now then, I think about the other day when I was home, Cheryl and I, with Thanksgiving, we went down to my sister's. We hadn't been there in a long time. I got a lovely sister that's 9 years older than me, and she's got lots of, you know, she had two children, and those children had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, so we had a house full of people. And my sister's daughter's daughter is 40 years old. She's a beautiful young lady herself, got her own children. But we were sitting there after dinner, and we're all sitting there talking. All of a sudden, I see her reach down, and she's sitting in a little chair there on by side a little old table. We got extra table stuff because there's so many of us. She reaches down, picks up her purse, 40-year-old woman, and opens her purse and reaches in, gets a bottle, and pours a pill in her hand and closes it. And I said, Sharon, what are you fixing to do? Well, she said, Uncle Thurman, I got a headache, and I'm going to take a headache pill. I said, that's a devil. I said, put that crazy pill back in that bottle. What are you going to do? I walked over and put my hand on her head. I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you and command you to come out of her right now in the name of Jesus. I turned her loose. I said, now? He said, my gosh, it just left. It's gone. I don't have a headache anymore. Why is it we reach for the cotton-picking medicine bottle instead of for the king? You see where I'm coming from? Jesus is the best medicine you can have. Isn't he, Tom? There ain't nothing better than Jesus. You know, but what? We don't even try Jesus. Some people say, well, I'm going to try Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to work when you try Jesus. You got to do Jesus, don't you, Paul? You got to do Jesus. You got to know. That devil says, oh, you're going to try Jesus? Well, I ain't going nowhere. So that he reads your mind. He knows if you're trembling. Well, maybe, let me see if I can lay hands on you. I'm shaking like a leaf, you know. I hope this works. Oh, God, I hope this works. The devil says, you idiot. Oh, he laughs at you. Oh, does he laugh at you? Hey, this is not trying stuff. This is real stuff, right? This is the Word of God. This is what the king come and showed us what we could do. He lived this himself, and he told us this is for us. So, and now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with various diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now, how did he do that? Laid hands on them. Oh, I know that's too hard for us. He made it so difficult, it'd be impossible for you to reach over and lay your hands on somebody and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. He sure made that hard, didn't he, Tom? Oh, the first time I did that in my life and seen somebody get instantly healed, you talk about shocking me. It shocked me. I knew Jesus had said it, but he knew exactly where my faith was, and he knew I had almost no faith. It was just little teeny faith. But at least I did it. And when I laid hands on somebody and they got healed, I thought, my God, you, Lord, you really showed up. You know, isn't that amazing? How that, like I've told you before, this testimony and recently, but I think about this gentleman that was my older neighbor, you know, back in those days when he was probably 60 or 65, when he was an old man, you know, because I was 35 and I lived across the street, and anybody older than 35 was old. But I knew a little bit about God's Word. And he had surgery, and I went to see him 3 days later, and I asked him how he was doing, and he said, Thurman, it's killing me. His name was Mr. Ross. He said, Thurman, I'm dying. He said, ever since the surgery, when I woke up, I've had the hiccups, and every time I hiccup, it feels like it's tearing this thing open. He said, they've done everything known to man, given me everything, tried everything that they can, scared me, do everything imaginable, and this hiccup won't go away. I said, have you prayed? How come we don't ever think about that? Why are we so dense? Have we prayed? No, we hadn't prayed. So I just asked the Father in Jesus' name to take away his hiccups. And guess what happened to his hiccups? They went away. He never hiccuped another time. I thought, oh God, I'm just as dumb as the rest of them, though. I do things like that, too. There's days I get out there and work all day long and all kinds of complications and problems. And by the end of the day, I'm wore out. I say, wow, what a terrible day. And somebody said, well, did you pray about today? Pray? Oh, that's what I forgot this morning, Bruce. I didn't pray. I know none of y'all ever done that besides me. We've all done that, haven't we? Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with various diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Wow. 41 and 42. And devils also came out of many, crying when he laid his hands on them. Does that line up with the Scripture? Mark 16, 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow those that believe in my name. You shall drive out devils in my name. You know, why is it that the church I was raised up in, I mean, they could teach in Mark 16, they could take verse 15 and 16, and they said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, and everybody that believes and is baptized will be saved. But we never hit verse 17 and 18. They never read that. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, you shall cast out devils. I mean, what is it about that that we don't understand? In my name, you can cast out devils. If Jesus said, in my name, you can cast out devils, do you believe you can cast out devils? Yeah. Well, if you don't, you don't believe the word. You know, and the day's coming when there's going to have to be a part of the church of the living God that knows who they are and how to get people set free, because there are going to be a lot of people that's got sin in their life in the future that's got devils, I mean even Christians, and there's going to have to be somebody in the church that's strong enough and bold enough to know how to kick a devil out of them and get them healed. When you get a devil kicked out of your life and you get prayed for it, does it change the way things go in your life, Bruce? It does, doesn't it? There sits a man right there that had migraine headaches for I don't even know how many years. I mean, really bad ones, didn't you? For years. And his wife came to church one day and said he can't be here. He wanted to come, but he couldn't be here because he was hurting so bad he was in bed. So I told her, I said, no problem. I'll just cast them devils out of him from here, from long distance. We cast the devils out, and she went home. She said he was sicker. He was throwing up. I said, good, that's the devil's coming out of him. He's going to be well. See, she thought it didn't work. But it did work, didn't it, Lisa?
Yeah.
It made a big difference. And so he got rid of his headaches. And praise God. Now, you think the devil will ever come back on you and try to put a headache on you again? Oh, yeah, he will. But you have to know your authority, don't you? And you have to obey God. And if you obey him, then you got authority and you can kick him out yourself. You don't have to have Thurman to do it. You don't have to have nobody. You have that power, according to the Word of God. And he says there, and devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Sure, they know who he was. They know who you are, too, because if you're a real Christian, who's living in you?
Christ.
Absolutely. That same King right there, he's in you today. The hope of glory, it's in us. So when that devil sees us, he sees Jesus, and he's terrified if you're walking holy before God. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him, and came unto him and stayed with him that he should not depart from them. Verse 43 and 44. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. Well, that's what we're supposed to be sent to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. For therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. He preached everywhere. Now, where are you supposed to preach? Wherever you work, wherever you are, wherever you live, wherever you buy groceries. Just like Brother Paul back there, I mean, he wanted God to give him the desires of his heart. He wanted a truck and a little trucking company. And since he built that thing for the glory of God and he wasn't ashamed to put Jesus on his helmet and everything else, look how God has blessed him. You heard God giving him a nice truck, giving him more money than he's ever had in his life, you know? And I'm going to tell you something here. He may not want me to tell this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. You know, if God does something through you, you can't keep me shut up. You know, I got to talk. When I needed this grain elevator out here, he found it for me up in Sulphur Springs. He found this thing for me in Sulphur Springs. Cheryl and I went up there and looked at it, and I thought, just exactly what we need. And the guy asked me, he said, what are you going to use it for? And I said, to store grain in so I can have bread. And he said, well, okay, if that's what you're going to do with it, then I'll give you a discount. So he gave me about a $300 discount. And I said, well, I didn't bring a checkbook. I said, Paul, he's standing. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come by tomorrow, and I'll give him a check for it. I got my checkbook, and I'll haul it down there for you in one of my trucks. I said, well, great. Okay, so we come home. Paul goes out there the next day. They load that thing up, put it on the trailer, bring it down here. We take the skycrack and unload it out there. And I said, okay, how much was the trucking to haul it down here, and how much was the tank? He said, you don't owe me nothing. I'm paying for it all. Jesus has took care of the whole bill. See? So the tank, he paid for the tank, and he paid for the trucking. Why do you think God's blessing him? Did you read the word where it says, give and it'll be given to you?
Right.
See? Now, he gave, he didn't expect nothing from it, but God keeps good records, doesn't he? So he gave to this ministry, and God is blessing his socks off because he gave to this ministry. It's amazing, you know, that God's principles work for anybody that believes them. You know that? He's an awesome God. Now let's go to Luke 10, 16 through 20. Luke 10, 16 through 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 16 through 20. In the King James, that's where we're at, so we'll just go ahead and stay in the King James. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. So when you go out and you're representing the king, if they don't like what you say, they really don't like. It's not you that they have the problem with. It's God they have the problem with. You know, did any of us write the Bible? No. I mean, man wrote the Bible, but the Holy Spirit inspired all of it, so it's God's holy word. He expects you and me to obey it. That's what he does, right? So we have to obey it. And it says, and then after he told them that, and he sent them out, and the 70 that he sent out returned again with joy. I mean, when you go out in the name of Jesus and begin to see God do wonderful things, you'll come back with joy in your heart, won't you? Absolutely. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. Now, has that ever changed? No. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And he did destroy the works of the devil, and the power and authority over the devil, he has transferred that power and authority when he left this earth to you and me. Now, he gave it to men. He gave it to his apostles. He gave it to these 70. And when he left, he designated that power and authority to every believer. But the devil, I can just imagine when Jesus left, when the last words he said, when he said, now go into all the world and preach the gospel, and everybody will believe, be baptized, will be saved. And these signs shall follow the believers. They shall take my name, and they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up the devil, and you shall drink deadly poison, and it won't hurt you. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall get well. I can only imagine the board meeting that happened in hell. Demons? I'm telling you, the king has come and defeated us, but we must never let them stupid people up there on earth know what he done, because if they ever get a hold of this, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. We have been annihilated by the king. All of our power, all of my power as Satan has been stripped from me on this earth. I have to obey him now. He's in total control. Did you hear what he said? All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The king said that, didn't he? The devil said they must never know that. We got to deceive them. We got to get them believing that these things don't work. We got to get them to believe that these things only happen to the disciples that were here, the original apostles. It couldn't. We don't want them to know they have this power on earth. Because if they do, we're in trouble. We got to keep these people sinning. We got to keep them out of the book. When they sat down to read God's word, we got to put them to sleep. You have to do something. You know, if you're having trouble sleeping, just open the Bible and start trying to read it some night. They'll know, you'll be asleep in 2 minutes. Is that true? Oh, yeah. I mean, in fact, you can get up from a nice, wonderful 8-hour sleep and sit down to read God's word. If you ain't careful, he'll put you back to sleep. You know? I mean, you wasn't sleepy at all. But that devil, he will do anything he can to keep you out of this magnificent book. I know. I mean, I've been down those trails and fought those battles. And if you sat down to say, well, this afternoon, when I get home, I'm going to study God's word. And if you're a woman coming home from work, and you say, okay, Lord, as soon as I come in, I'm going to sit down and study your word. And he says, you know, but you hadn't fixed the evening meal yet. Your husband's going to be home in a little while, and he's going to be hungry. You know, and them kids come in from school, and they're going to want something to eat, mama. Okay, so you go in there and start cooking. And by the way, you haven't washed the dishes from last night either. You got to wash the dishes. Okay, and you hadn't washed the clothes in a week. You know, it's time to start out the clothes and wash them. So you're up till 3 o'clock in the morning doing all these things, and by that time you're ready to crash. Who's going to study the word? And the devil, he says, whew, got her through one more day. Kept him out of the word. He's really good at what he does. You know that? The beast is very sly, but he has no power over you whatsoever unless you give it to him. When the devil comes to you and tells you as a man, and he gets through lots of men like this, lots of pastors he's deceived. I mean, here a while back, a man that I know, they'd done some research in some churches, and it was 43% of every church they went to in the Metroplex, the pastors, when they went in and checked their computers, the pastors had been looking at pornography. 43% of every church they went to, the men of God standing in these pulpits during the week in their own offices as looking at internet pornography. They haven't learned who they are. They haven't learned their power. They haven't learned when the devil puts that thought in your mind, you said, I rebuke you, you beast, get out of my life. They've not learned that. And if you don't learn that, he will ruin your life. And then, of course, once you start watching that stuff, you get in hooked in on that internet pornography, the first thing you know, he'll get you a little deeper in it, a little deeper in it, a little deeper in it. And then if you're not careful, first thing you know, you'll be another Ted Bundy. You know, everybody knows what happened to Ted Bundy, don't you? I mean, Ted Bundy was the man that he got in on internet pornography, raised in a Christian family, in a Christian home. He was raised in a perfect home everywhere, but he got hung up on internet pornography, and then he went out, and what he saw, and when he got into the wilds of these things, he started trying to satisfy his lustful desires, and he started raping women, brutally doing things to them, and then he started raping and brutally murdering these girls. He killed many of them, many of them. And then finally one day he got caught. And he got put in prison. And before he was going to die in that electric chair, he called Dr. James Dodson and wanted to know if he would come. He said, I will talk to you. Everybody wanted an interview with Ted Bundy, but he wouldn't allow nobody. But he called Dr. James Dodson, and Dr. James Dodson publicized his entire testimony. And it was all about, you need to tell the people. You can be a good boy, raised up in a good home. I mean, your mother and dad, Christians, took you to church and everything, but if you get hooked on internet pornography and you continue to yield to it, you can get where I am today. Now, did that boy have any idea who he was in Christ? No idea whatsoever. The church he went to never taught him that I have this power. I don't have to look at that junk. I have the power within me to throw away any way I want to. I have freedom in Christ. I could look at that stupid stuff if I wanted to. But I ain't going to. That's just like smoking. As a Christian, I have the freedom to smoke if I want to. It says on the package it'll cause cancer. Now, am I going to put God to the test and smoke that stupid stuff and then die 10 or 15 or 20 years early? I hope not. That's right. I ain't going to. I mean, I have the freedom to drink if I want to. But he clearly said in the scripture, don't get drunk. So if I start drinking a little, if I'm not real careful, first thing you know, one night I'll be out with a bunch of guys and I'll get too much drinking. I'll get drunk. And then I'll be like the young boy I tried to witness to down at DFW about Jesus, 28 years old. I don't want to hear that, Mr. Scrivener. I'm young. I want to sow my wild oats. I want to do what I do. When I get old, I'll make Jesus Lord of my life. A couple weeks later, went out with a group of boys. They got a little too much drinking, and he had a Jeep, and he was going home. He didn't fasten his seatbelt because he was drunk. He ran up on a curb on an embankment, and it was so high, he fell out. And when he fell out, the stupid Jeep rolled over on him, and he is no longer. He's dead. And guess where he's at today? In hell. It's a few weeks before. I sat in the cafeteria and said, son, you need Jesus. No, Mr. Scrivener, I don't need Jesus. I'm only 28 years old. I'm going to sow my wild oats. I'm going to have parties. I'm going to have a good time. Who was lying to him? The devil. And now then, he's going to spend eternity with that devil. I tried, but he didn't get through to that boy. It's amazing how the devil does these things to us. And I can kind of understand that in the world, but what I don't understand, it happens in the church. You know, the church, men in the church let the devil deceive them. You do not know your power and authority. And it says, in the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. Look what the king said in verse 18. And he said unto them, I behold Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I mean, the devil, Lucifer, used to be in heaven. And he broke God's rule, and he come up to Jesus, and he said, I'm going to kick you out. I'm going to be God. Can you imagine when the king grabbed him by the nape of the neck and flung him out of heaven? Lucifer, you're a created being. You ain't never going to do nothing except what I tell you. Is Jesus God? Yes. Is there anything greater than him? No. Ain't nothing even can hold a light to the king. Nothing. He's the greatest, most powerful thing there is. And he is God. So he says, behold, he says, I give unto you power or authority to tread on the devil and his demons and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that those spirits or those evil spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Like I told yesterday in the healing school, this was a precious moment in my life last March when they brought this little girl, Allison, here, and she was sick and afflicted and couldn't eat hardly anything. I mean, it was awful. They had medication with her all the time. If she had any kind of peanuts or nuts or just all kinds of things that she couldn't touch. And, I mean, if you had eaten a peanut and washed your hand, and then you reached over and touched her, her throat would swell up and she'd almost die. It was awful. They brought her here. I told the parents, I said, you know, you've got to repent of your sins, and both of you, and if you repent of your sins, then we'll break the curse because Jesus redeemed this little girl from the curse, according to Galatians 3:13-14. And I broke the power of the devil, commanded him to leave over that little girl, and then asked the Lord, since he had redeemed her, to completely restore her and make her perfectly well. I said, now it's done because Jesus made you that promise. And I said, now you can go feed her anything you want to. And the mother looked over at me and said, Thurman, are you sure? And that sounded too easy. You've been to every kind of doctor in the world. I mean, you've had all kinds of medication. But yeah, they can keep her from dying, but they can't fix her. I know the one that can fix her. And his name is Jesus. And so they went home and continued to read those scriptures for a week. You know, the scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So if you don't have enough faith, how do you get the faith to stand on his word? Keep reading out loud the word of God. And so in a week, mama and grandmama finally decided they would throw away the medicine and they'd take her down to Logan's steakhouse, and they'd go in, and of course Logan's out there in West Texas, had just got peanuts everywhere, and kind of like that other one here in Texas, I forget, or here, what's the one here? Texas Roadhouse, yeah, same kind of deal. They took her down there, and I was so amazed that when the grandmother and the mother and the little girl walked into Logan's, the grandmother said, Thurman, I walked all those peanut shells, hail, crushing them, saying, Lord, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Isn't it amazing how when the Word of God becomes a revelation to you, and they went over and sat down and handed her some peanuts, and little Allison began to break the peanuts and eat them, and that was in March last year, and they've been here a couple of times since then. And we also, last time we went out to GLC, their testimony is back there now. I believe it's back there. And what, honey? It's on the glass table. When we went out there, I used one show to make their testimony. And while I was out there, the little girl, before we started the taping, we were getting the set all set up, and she said, come up to me, and she said, Pastor, can I ask you a question? Now, this is precious. She's about 4 years old now. I said, yes, honey, anything. And she says, you know, sometimes Mom and Dad ask me to do something I don't want to do. What can I do? I said, well, Allison, it all depends on, do you enjoy being well? Do you enjoy being able to eat peanuts and your throat not swelling up? Well, yes, it's wonderful. I said, well, the Lord says, children, obey your parents in all things. All things that you may live a long life on the earth. I said, if you want to enjoy your healing and keep it, then you have to obey your parents. I said, if you don't, it'll bring the sickness back to you, and it'll shorten your life, and you'll never live out a good long life. So which way do you want it? Do you want to live long or die early? Oh, she said, Pastor, I want to live a long time, and I really enjoy being able to eat anything. I said, okay, so then what do you got to do? She said, I have to obey Mom and Dad, don't I? I said, yes, honey, you have to obey Mom and Dad. She said, okay, I will do that. That was precious. I mean, that was precious. 4 years old. I mean, 4 years old. You wouldn't think a four-year-old would want to, you know, not obey Mom and Dad, would you? Oh, yeah. They want to do that when they're 6 months old. You know, they got their own mind. They want to go their own way. I mean, but God said in His Word, children, obey your parents in all things, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So if He said that, you think He meant that? Yes, He does. And it will make the children sick if they don't obey. Now, He told us right here, we're not supposed to rejoice because these evil spirits are subject to us. But these evil spirits have to be subject to us. In fact, I am so amazed at the girl that had the evil spirit living in her breast that was sitting right over here yesterday, that, I mean, Jesus Himself delivered that girl just when she repented of her sin. We didn't even get to pray for her. Isn't that wonderful? When you see somebody get healed and you don't even get to pray for them, I think, well, at least this one back here, I got to pray for her, you know. I got to pray for her. God, Cheryl and I prayed for her. She came up and told us all her problems. We prayed for each one of them. And of course, sometimes I'll forget one. And as I'm praying, Cheryl, she mentions it. She don't ever forget nothing. So she'll say, you know, if you didn't pray for this, whatever. And so I prayed for each individual thing, and this look, the Lord showed up. Now you walk holy before Him, and you won't ever have that problem again. That's right. Walk holy before the King and stand in bold faith. And if the enemy ever puts any kind of a symptom on you, just say, no, Lord, I'm walking holy before You. I will not let this devil come back in Jesus' name. I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to have it no more. Stand on His Word. Now then, isn't that a great set of promises right there? I think it's awesome. Now let's go to Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. Luke 11, 1 through 13. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. Well, we need to learn how to pray. You know that? Well, they didn't know how to pray. They wanted Jesus to teach them, so He's giving us an example. He says here, well, He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. So what does the Lord want to happen on the earth? Same thing that He's doing in heaven. He wants us to walk holy. He wants us to be His children. He don't want no sin on earth, just like there ain't none in heaven, right? That's exactly what He wants. Well, who is going to make those decisions to make that happen in your life? You are. That's absolutely right. When that devil comes to you, you're going to have to learn to say, no, devil, I ain't going to sin. I'm going to walk holy. I am not going to sin. I have the power within me. I'm a child of God. and I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I am not going to sin. And so, then verse 3 and 4. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Are we in the church supposed to have any unforgiveness toward anybody? No. If you do, it will open the door to a devil with unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone. That tormenting spirit will come and torment you. Just like the girl yesterday, when she heard me talk about this with breast cancer, and I talked about how it works from a female, they have unforgiveness toward a family member or a non-family member, and she knew the breast she had it in, she knew what the problem was, so she wrote down on a piece of paper and forgave her sister-in-law. And God instantly healed her right there. Isn't he awesome? I mean, he's awesome. But he wants us to forgive and all our sins. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now then, if you walk holy before him, he will lead you and deliver you in a path that has no evil. He'll lead you there. Then verse 4, 5, and 6. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, this is still talking about how to pray. You know, he hadn't changed subjects now. And he says, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing set before him. In other words, today, if you're up at 12 o'clock at night, which we are usually, and somebody happens to drop in, and I don't have a single thing in the house to feed nobody, and this happens to us every once in a while. I'll see Dave and Isha getting ready to go somewhere, or she's getting ready to go somewhere. All the kids are down, all sound asleep. And I say, where are you going? Oh, she said, I'm going to Walmart to buy groceries. I said, but yes, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Well, guess what? Walmart's open 24/7. Now then, back in these days, they didn't have Walmarts. They didn't have places you could go to buy groceries at 12 o'clock at night. You know that? And there's still a lot of little cities like that today. And so they had neighbors. And so you had these people drop in. Maybe it was your brother or something, or maybe just a good friend. And they dropped in, you know, and now then here you are. And they're all hungry. They've traveled all day on their donkey. And, you know, they didn't have no restaurant to stop by until they get to your house. They're hungry. Well, now, you got to feed them. But you ain't got nothing. So you go over to your neighbor's house. It's 12 o'clock at night. And so you go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. And the friend says, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. That's understandable. Okay, verse 7 and 8. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me. They're in bed, and I cannot rise and give unto you. So go away. Would that be real understandable? I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Because the guy's saying, I ain't going away. I got my brother come in, and him and his kids are hungry, and I got to have something to feed them. And they ain't going to be able to sleep till they got food in their belly. I ain't going away. He said, would you please leave me alone and go away? He said, no, I'm not going. That's persistence, isn't it? And so then, let's see what the next verse says. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For how many? Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now I want you to stop and think about this. God right there is going to find out, are you going to be persistent? Are you going to be prayed for one time and nothing happens and you're going to give up? You're going to wait and say, okay, well, I prayed once, God. Are you going to do it for me? Is my swelling in my arm going to go down, or my leg or my neck? I'm going to rebuke this devil and I got a crick in my neck, and if I rebuke him once, he don't go away. Well, it wasn't God's will for him to go away from me. No. You don't give up. You get more persistent. Is that what you do? Yes. when you get these scriptures locked in your heart, is it God's will to answer your prayer?
Yes.
Of course it is. And why don't he just go ahead and do it real easy and just give you your answer? Oh, testing you. He's going to find out what you're made out of, Tom.
Right.
He's going to find out if you're a wimp or if you're going to really stay on there, isn't he?
Yes.
And when he finds out you're not a wimp, when you've proven yourself, he's going to release the answer to that prayer, isn't he?
Yes,
he is. Somebody said, well, you know, I don't think you can tell God what to do. Well, no, we're not telling him what to do. We're doing what he told us to do. Isn't that right?
Yes, right on.
Is he the one that's telling us to stay in here, continue to knock, continue to demand, continue to, you know, to cry out to him? Did he say that? For everyone that asks receives. But he didn't say you'd get it the first time you asked, did he? He didn't say you'd get it the second time. But he said you will get it, didn't he? So if we don't give up, I mean, I think about that testimony back there of Betty Baxter. How many of you have seen the testimony of Betty Baxter back there? I mean, it's awesome, isn't it, Paul? I mean, that little girl, she was born all crippled and everything, and her little arms and legs were twisted and knotted, big old knots all over her body. She was a grotesque-looking little thing. And finally, she was 7 or 8 years old. They finally took her over to Minneapolis to the big hospital over there, and they kept her for a month. They did everything they knew how to do, and the doctor's diagnosis was, we can't do nothing for her. She'll be dead by the time she's 10. Everybody at the doctor's statement gave up except one person. Praise God for mothers. You know, us dads, we ain't got it. You know, we're a bunch of wimps. I hate to say this about us, but us guys, praise God for good women. But Betty Baxter's mother, she said, you know, I read in the Word where Jesus says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't never change. So if he healed then, he'll heal today. So she said, I ain't giving up. And so she prayed, and she prayed, and little Betty got worse. Somebody said, well, Miss Baxter, you might as well give up. You know, you prayed 5 times, and she's worse. I mean, that really ruins us real quick, doesn't it? We don't get our answer in a week or two or three. I mean, just think of Dave up there. Him and Ayesha prayed for 20 months before he got healed. He looked like a leper. When Dave walked into me at 12 months, couldn't hardly wear clothes. I mean, he had a loose pair, fitting pair of clothes and flip-flop for shoes, and his feet looked like leper's feet. And I remember he walked up to me that day like a zombie. And he said, Pastor, it doesn't appear to be working. We can all associate with that, can't we? In fact, some of you that went to my church went over to him and told him, Dave, you look so awful. I have a doctor downtown Dallas that I have great faith in. Why don't you go to him? And Dave said, I got a doctor I have great faith in too, and his name is Jesus. And he told me not to go to no other doctor, so he said, I ain't going. He fought his battle for 20 months. I told Dave to repent that day. I said, God's words never fails. You haven't made it work yet. I mean, isn't that a loving, kind, compassionate pastor that'll tell you when you look like you're dying, almost slap you in the face and say, get over it, Dave, it's going to work. That's not what we want to hear, is it? Oh, you uncompassionate critter, you. But I give him God's word, and it worked. And today he's totally healed.
Amen.
You know, so praise God. And he stayed healed. You know, so it's wonderful when we keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep staying in there. Because look what the King says. For everyone that asks, receives. We think, well, I asked and I asked 3 times and nothing happened. Well, if you didn't get it at 3, did I see my granddaughter walk off the first night? Did I see her walk off the second night? The second week? The second month? I begin to see her walk in about 2 months. But boy, this is 2 months, and how many prayers you think I prayed for her in those 2 months? I mean, if I was ever 24/7 Jesus, I was 24/7 Jesus. I mean, I laid down everything. My whole goal in life for those first 2 weeks in that hospital was me and Jesus. I didn't care if the world didn't even work. I had one goal in my life, to get that little girl healed. I stayed with it. I fought that battle night and day. I stayed in the Word. I read His promises over her. I wasn't no wimp. I stayed with it. And I said yesterday she's fixing to be 12 on the 12th. I was wrong. She's going to be 11. I called my son this morning and asked. I said, how old is Caitlin going to be tomorrow? He said, Dad, she'll be 11 tomorrow. I said, okay, I got so many grandbabies I can't keep up with all of them. I told Cheryl, I said, we got four real ones, my son and his wife. We have four with Caitlin. We got four over there, but over here I'm Papa T to about six or seven more. So I've got about 10 grandbabies, and for me to keep up with all, as a man, forget it. That's why I got a wife for it, write all the dates on the calendars when their birthdays are, because I can't keep up with all of them. But all these little kids that run around here call me Papa T. You know, isn't that something? It is wonderful. God has blessed our socks off. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now let's see what 11 and 12 says. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, whoops, we'll have to bring that back up. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Is there any of you that would do that to your children? No. As some people probably say, yeah, I do that to my kids, but they ain't Christians. They're not Christians. Christians don't think like that. Christians, he says, or if he shall ask an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? Huh, well, it's 13 and 14. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. Wait a minute, if you being evil, does he still look at you and me as evil?
Yes.
Isn't that something? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Do you know that I was in a church the majority of my life, and I didn't know I could ask for the infilling power of the Holy Spirit? In fact, I remember one day my pastor, which was a PhD, he preached a sermon on Sunday. I'd been studying about the Holy Ghost. I'd been studying everything I could find about the Holy Ghost. And I thought, you know, why is it we don't teach these things? And then we did. Our pastor, my pastor, he spoke on the thing that was called the second event, the infilling power of the Holy Ghost, and said this is not real. And it was a PhD from seminary. He said, that's not true. That don't happen. And I'll never forget that day. He was the most uncomfortable man trying to preach that message around the Word of God I ever saw in my life. But he was trying to convince us there was no such thing as an infilling power of a Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit when you got saved, and that's all you got. There wasn't nothing else. Well, the next morning when I started to work, I'm driving along in my pickup, and I look over there at that church, and I said, Lord, I believe that man loves you with all his heart. I know he does. I've been a deacon for him for years. I know he loves you. But I said, Lord, about the Holy Ghost, I believe he's wrong. Now, how many of you know you can be a normal little member in the church and be wrong? You can be a PhD in the church and be wrong? You can be anything and be wrong about some things about God's Word. You know that? Mm-hmm. Anytime you think you've got it all together, then you're wrong. Right there, because you know you ain't got it all together. Nobody does besides Jesus. But anyway, I drove by that church and I said, Lord, I believe that man loves you with all his heart, but I believe he misunderstands the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. I believe with all my heart the infilling power of the Holy Spirit is a different event, and when you ask for it, you get it. Now, at that time, I had never witnessed to nobody. I'd never led anybody to Jesus, never got anybody healed. I'd never done any of those things. But I said, I'm driving by that church looking as I go by on 35E. And I look up and I said, Lord, if that's real, I want it. And God came into that pickup with me and hit me with an infilling power of the Holy Spirit, and I ain't never been the same. I began to lead people to Jesus. I started praying for people, getting things, people healed. I began to get revelation from the Scriptures. God started talking to me, and my whole life has changed from that day to this.
Amen.
Does it do good to study the Word for yourself?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Sermon, though,
sir?
It took a bad sermon,
yeah, to get me to believe it. That's right. But I believed it, and it happened. Now then, Let's go to John 14, 12, 13, and 14 to close out today. John 14, 12, 13, and 14. Now, we've seen some wonderful things Jesus has done, haven't we? We've seen some wonderful things. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you. Now, this is Jesus talking. This ain't some fly-by-night cowboy. This is our King. I, Jesus, say unto you. Are you a you? Hey, I'm a you. I'm a you. Praise the Lord. I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now, do you believe on him? Okay, so far the criteria fits us. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going unto my Father. So, now, wait a minute. I would just be happy as I could be if I could just do all the things Jesus did, wouldn't you? So greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. We stop and think, I couldn't do that. Yes, you can. You know, you are not limited on this earth by anything. I mean, we can go places and do things. I mean, Paul can take that truck of his out there and he can put a load of stuff on that thing, and in 8 hours he can be halfway across the country. I mean, get out down that road, and I got to tell you something else on Paul too. He come to me one day and he said, you know, I'm having all kinds of trouble getting God to answer my prayer. I just can't get God to answer my prayer. And I said, well, Paul, I know you drive a truck. Somebody said, do you ever break the speed limit? He says, break the speed limit? He said, I mean, you can't make a living driving the speed limit. I said, you can't get God to answer your prayer, breaking the law. So he gets out there and he says, okay, God, I'll drive the speed limit. He sets his cruise control on 70 or 65 or whatever it is. And the next time he comes to church, he said, Thurman, God answers nearly every prayer I ask him for. Isn't that something, Paul? Yeah, and seatbelts too. Do everything. Do everything like the Lord told you to, right? And now, which way do you rather have it? You'd rather do it your way or his way? Yeah, okay. Now, there's a smart man. He's going to do it God's way because he wants his prayer answered. You know, one of the things I told Cheryl the other day, I said, honey, I love seeing God answer my prayer. And I said, he clearly tells me in the Word that if I don't love you like Christ loves the church, he will not hear my prayer. I said, honey, I'm going to do everything in my power and God's power to be the most loving, wonderful husband you ever had. And see, now, because I want my prayers answered, don't you? Yeah. Now, see, if you don't want your prayers answered, just go ahead and treat your wife like anything. You know, just don't be nice to her. Don't tell her you love her. Don't tell her she's beautiful this morning when you woke up. You know, just don't tell her none of them good things. And then you come and say, God, I need you to do this for me. And he says, who are you? I told you to love your wife like I love the church. You ain't doing it, so I ain't answering your prayer. Is that scripture? Yes, it is. It's written right there in the Word. So if a man wants his prayer answered, he's got to love his wife. You say, but mine ain't very lovable. That's okay. You got to love her anyway. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And then look at verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Do you know, for the church, he put absolutely no limitations on what you could ask for. If you're walking in obedience to his word, somebody said, well, I want to win the lottery and get $1 million. You're living in the flesh. You're carnal already. You're not led by the Spirit of God. If you are led by the Spirit of God, your spirit with the Holy Spirit, you will never ask God for anything that's outside of the will of God. It's just like I went to a church one time, and it was a Pentecostal church, and the pastor, while I was there, he wanted me to pray that his wife would leave him so he could marry another woman in the church. I told him, brother, you're living under the flesh. I mean, I said, you need to love the woman. I said, I bet there ain't no prayer answered around this church. Do you think God was going to do anything in a church like that? Absolutely not. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do. And verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Do you know when I went and looked that up in the Greek, that whatsoever you shall ask, do you know that word actually means demand? Whatsoever you demand in my name. Now, well, you said, well, what if I got all my sins repented of and I still got this problem with my arm? Well, Lord, I prayed about that. maybe you didn't demand strong enough. Because once you repented of every sin, what's in there messing up your arm or your leg or your back or whatever it is? The devil. And did the Lord tell you to cast him out? He may not be a pushover. Some devils are not pushovers. So if you know your sins are repented of, and you pray or you rebuke that thing and command it to leave and it don't leave, then you get more forceful with the Word of God. Did Jesus say everybody that asks receives?
Yes.
You think it's His will once you kick out the, once you repent of your sin, you think it's His will to bless you? Of course. So if you don't get healed, what do? Well, if we don't get healed pretty quick, well, I go to a doctor. Well, I prayed and asked the Lord to take away that pain in my hand, but it didn't go away. I put up with it for 2 weeks now, and it didn't go away, so I guess I'll just go to a doctor. I'll take some more medicine. No. I mean, Lord, Your Word says, quote these verses to Him, Lord, Your Word says, ask and it shall be mine. I'm asking, I'm believing it's mine. Now then, I've repented of everything. Yeah, I messed up. I did something. Maybe I didn't love my wife or I got upset at her. But Lord, it opened a door and the devil come in. But I repented. And this sickness had come upon me or this pain in my hand, I am commanding this thing go away because now I am set free and You made me a promise and I'm not giving up. I know the answer is mine and I know it's yes every time.
Amen.
And whatsoever you shall ask or demand in my name, that I will do. And the reason, I was reading that one time, and when I got that, and whatsoever you shall demand in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. One night when I was reading that in the Greek, and I saw that, whatever you demand, I said, God, why do I have to demand from You to do something? He said, Son, You're not demanding from Me. I've already paid for it. It's Yours. He said, You're demanding the enemy leave. I thought, wow, what a revelation. He's already forgiven me when I ask, Lord. And so He said, okay, sure, no problem. But the devil's still in there. He's messing me up. Oh, boy, when I got a hold of that, I don't take nothing laying down no more, Tom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know when Jesus is on my side and I've repented of my sins and I'm having trouble getting healed, I just demand, I quote the Word, devil, what do you not understand about this? It's like that time that I sent, just to tell you how easy it is to sin, where I really got this revelation. God has to do some of these things over and over and over in your life. But I was at work one day, and a guy brought in a piece of paper, and he said, Thurman, you read this fax? I said, well, I don't know. He handed it to me, and I read it. It says, if certain things were to happen within our company, they might have to close the engineering division. I said, gee, if they close the engineering division, here, I'm 50-something years old. I said, I wonder what would happen to me. You know, you think, I'm too old to get a job. Gosh, 50, you know, you're ancient. That's the way we think when we're 50. You know, that's what they've told us. You know, when you get over 50, you can't find another job. So whatever you do, keep the one you got. You can never get another one when you're over 50. You're not useful to nobody no more when you get over 50. That's one of the biggest lies there is. But, I mean, I said, Lord, what would happen to me? Now then, who am I supposed to put my trust in? My company or my Lord? The Lord. Who did I put my trust in? The company. Well, I sinned. And when I sinned, immediately a devil come into me and I was immediately sick. I mean, I had a splitting migraine headache and sinus fluid pouring out of both nostrils. The guy back there said, good grief, what happened? A river just break loose in your head? Here I'm sitting there perfectly normal. All of a sudden, grabbed the Kleenex, started blowing my nose and everything else, and I said, that's okay. And so he left. I repented. Lord, I'm so sorry. Now, did He forgive me? But did I get well? No. No. That devil's in there. He was sitting there waiting. That fire, he had a fiery dart aimed at me, Joseph. I mean, as soon as I sinned, he shot one in. Right, I mean, it went right in, and it went in deep. And so I'm repenting, and I'm commanding the devil, and of course I go through all the rest of that day. You devil of hell, you got to come out of me in the name of Jesus. Blow my nose, you know. You devil of hell, come out of me in Jesus' name. Somebody said, you know, you're crazy. Yeah, that ain't working. No, I ain't crazy. It is working. And I stay with it. I stay with it for 4 days. Everybody tries to say, and with them, just go to the doctor, you know. Oh, that, you're real good Christian buddies. That's what they all say. Go to the doctor. You got the worst sinus you ever had. Just go to the doctor. No, this is a devil, and I ain't going to no doctor. I'm going to kick this devil out. So for 4 days and nights, I fight all the opposition. I quote the word over and over. That fourth morning, I'm going to work. I quote some of these scriptures we've read today. I got bold as a lion. I screaming this in the top of my lungs, and I reach over and I hit the dash of my pickup. I said, "Now you devil of hell, according to Luke 10, 19 and 20, you're out of here, and I ain't taking no for an answer. Go!" Bam! Hit the dash of my pickup. If somebody had been in there with me, they'd say, "Who is that idiot?" But I was fighting a spiritual battle, and I knew what was going on, and I mean that devil left me just like that, and my headache went away, and my head dried up, and I was clear as I am right now. And when it happened, I said, "Wow," I took the first good breath in 4 days. I sat back and said, "God, this is awesome." And I looked up, and there's a great big marquee flying across the clouds. Matthew 11, 12. I said, "God, I have read Matthew 11, 12 100 times, and I never understood it." Flip over there, Dave, to Matthew 11, 12. I realize we hadn't covered verse 14 yet, but we'll get back to it. Matthew 11, 12. Look at this. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven." Kingdom of heaven? Where is the kingdom of heaven today? Right here. It's in you and me. When he came down to the earth, the kingdom of heaven came inside of you and me. He says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. And the violent take it by force." Boy, that give me, whoo, Joseph, that fired me up. I said, from this day forth, if I ever get sick or anything happens to me, I'll know that I got to repent. And then I know the answer is always yes. God's promises are always yes. And so I'm not going to take no for an answer no more from that devil. When Jesus told me to demand in his name whatever I want to, I'm not demanding from him. He already bore my sickness and removed my disease on the cross. All I got to do is take what rightfully belongs to me. I want you to think of something that happened in this world, just like this. I want you to think, let's go all the way back to Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln wanted every man to be free, black and white, red and yellow, black and white. But was the black man free in America? No, not hardly. Mm-mm. They were slaves. They had no rights as far as the rest of the world was concerned. If you wasn't white, you didn't have no rights. You were nothing. In fact, do you know the Supreme Court, which now has black people on it? At one time, there was a decision made by the Supreme Court of the United States of America that if you're black, you're not a human being. Isn't that awful?
In fact, they even recorded him as stock.
Yeah, isn't that awful? But see, Abraham Lincoln was a man of God. He wanted the black man to be free. So a white man fought a war, and many men and went, and their sons and daddies and their died over this war. But they won. He signed the Emancipation Proclamation and set every black person free in America. Every black person was free. But did they live in freedom?
No.
Mm-mm. A few of them did, but most of them didn't. They still lived in bondage because they didn't know what rightfully belonged to them. We had a man, another black man came along in about 60, and he was a preacher, and he marched across this country saying, "We want our right. It is written. It is written. We have the freedom to go to the same schools the white people do. We have the freedom to eat in the same restaurants they do. We have the freedom to use the same bathrooms. It's written." And it cost him his life, but he won a lot more freedom. And today, a black man, a white man, a red man, a yellow man, pretty well has the... There's still prejudiced people. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's prejudiced white people. There's prejudiced black people. There's prejudiced red people. There's prejudiced yellow people. I mean, they're always going to have those. But at least most people have the freedom today to work where they want to and for who they want to in America. Well, let me tell you. The church, Jesus signed our Emancipation Proclamation 2,000 years ago. He didn't care what color you were, what nationality. He set you free. And has the church lived in bondage? Oh, yeah. We're living in bondage. If we would get a hold of this and say, "Okay, God, I'm stopping sinning. I ain't going to sin no more. Now I'm going to drive all these devils out of my life, and I'm going to get healed." Can you walk in divine health if you'd obey God? He promised you abundant life. if you walk where he wants you to. And that's everything. What is abundant life? Is it just good health? No, it's having enough money to pay your bills. See, Paul, recently, you heard him give his testimony. He stepped on. That guy sounds like he's having fun right now. He's having fun. And he's getting paid good to have fun. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with having fun, but if you can have a job that pays good money where you can buy what you want, that's even more fun, isn't it, Paul? Amen. You can buy that great big old beautiful truck out there and pay for that thing. Praise God. You know, but the king says, live my ways. Give, and it shall be given unto you. If you do what he says, he will continue to bless you. If you don't, he's going to curse you. It's just that simple. He has no favorites in the kingdom. But once we obey him, once we give, in fact, when I was down in a lawyer's office, I was doing some transactions this week. I was in an attorney's office making some, signing some paperwork. And when I did there, he asked me, what am I doing there? Because this guy was in my own hometown where I used to live. And he said, what are you doing out there, man? I said, well, I'm a preacher. He said, a preacher? I said, yeah. Now, see, he knew me back when I wasn't preaching quality material. You know, when I was running around Goldsweight down there, you know, driving my car fast and going to races on Sunday and all that kind of, he knew me then, see. He's a lot younger than me, or several years younger than me, but he knew me back then. So it's kind of hard for men to think, you're made a preacher? Yeah, God called me to be a preacher. And so that's what I'm doing. And I said, you know something else? I said, God has given me a teaching ministry that's beyond my wildest dreams. I said, I make teachings every week. And I said, right now we're sending out somewhere between 8 and 10,000 a week, free and postpaid, all over the world. He said, man, that's a lot. I said, yeah. If you'd have told me a few years ago that I was going to buy this media, pay the people to duplicate these things, and pay the postage and send all this out all over the world, I said, it costs tens of thousands of dollars a month to pay my bills. It ain't cheap. Tens of thousands every month. And I said, every month, God pays my bill, and most of the time, he pays it with a little bit left over. Isn't that something? Did the king say, give and it'll be given to you? That's what he said. So there ain't nothing wrong with obeying the king. But one thing I did never let money get a hold of me. You know, whenever I think about money, that's one thing my son loves. He said, Dad, I hate it when a preacher stands up here on television and says, you know, send us $1,000 or we're going to go off the air next week. He said, I hate that. I said, well, son, I don't ever ask him for money. I only ask one for money, and that's God. He said, Dad, and the beautiful part I like, you don't even sell your media. You give it away. He said, so ain't nobody can say your dad's in it for the money. I said, that's for sure. But God sure does pay our bills. He blesses our socks off. And he's an awesome God. He is an awesome God. You know, I mean, awesome. But now then, this power, let's go back to that verse 14. Here then, you see, sometimes you have to take it by force. If you don't get it the first time, you take it by force, according to Matthew 11, 12. And verse 14 of John 14, it says, and if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Is that an awesome promise? So should we ever give up as his children? No. Should we stand when he told us how to pray? Stand. Get it done. But what do? We have somebody pray for us and we don't feel better. The time we get to the car, we're going to go to the doctor tomorrow. We're going to go get a bottle of pills. Is that us? Sure, that's us. That's us. We don't say, God, I'm taking it by force. I'm going to get rid of my unbelief. I'm going to take your word. I'm going to stand on it. And I'm going to get healed. And I ain't never going to darken a doctor's office again as long as I got you as my healer. Amen. You're my physician. But boy, it takes some faith to walk there. And everybody ain't there. Like I say, you know, if you've suffered with something 5 years, 10 years, you ain't got your answer, and you've done everything God says to do, hey, don't suffer the rest of your life. Go to a doctor. You know, go to a doctor if he can help you. You know, because if you ain't there, you just ain't there. Is that true? But if you're not there, what can you do? Get there. Get in the Word. And a lot of people make this mistake when they need a healing. They come seeking. They go to Benny Hinn. They go to everybody they can. Seeking a healing. They're not going there seeking the healer. They're not going there to, or even here. Lots of people come here. I want to be healed. Well, how much time do you spend with God? Well, I work there a minute. I don't have time to study the Bible. If you ain't got time to study the Bible, you ain't got time to study, or you ain't got time to pursue the healer, what do you think your chances are of getting healed? Not too good. But if you seek Him and love Him and worship Him, healing is going to be easy. Isn't it, Scott? That's what it comes. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for Your Word. We praise You for this Word. We praise You that You printed all this in a book and give it to us so we can have it in these last days. I'm so grateful for Your Word. Lord, Your Word is so powerful, the things You've given us. And Lord, I ask You to help me as we go through these end times that I'll be able to teach the church that comes here these mighty things so they'll know what the Word says and they'll know how to walk in faith. They'll know how to stand their ground. They'll know how to walk without sin. They'll know how to walk in divine health. Lord, teach us, show us how to do this. And Lord, I ask You to be with everybody that's here today and everybody that normally comes here that's not here today, but be with them too, Lord. And Lord, those that need to be here, I ask You to bring them. And Lord, then I ask You through Your Holy Spirit to speak out of my mouth to these people. Lord, help me to stay out of the way. And You do Your work through this body You've given me to live in. And Lord, we give You all the praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.